And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Oh, it's Friday. I recommend you do as us Norwegians. Go insanely berserk. Because it's weekend.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, March 29th, 2024. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are, J.D. in the Bucky's hat.
Hell yeah.
Is that new?
No, I've had it for... No. Years, yeah. 2 years.
He's been wearing it. The shirt, I was looking at the shirt. What's going on with the shirt?
Le Freak, Le Shake. Oh. Nile Rodgers band.
There you go.
Yeah.
You look cool today, man.
Well, thank you.
Shout out to the stream team joining us live here on a Friday. Hit the like button, subscribe. We're getting real close to 100,000. Who's going to be that special 100K? One of you out there is going to do it. Podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. On today's drop, we're going to count down the top 5 hottest teams in the NBA since the All-Star break. We'll discuss the Timberwolves sale mess. What's going on there? What are you doing, Taylor?
Put on your business hats.
And you know we got some rapid-fire fun to end the week, but 2 games on in the NBA last night because everybody was locked in on March Madness. Got some teams going to the Elite Eight, but man, game of the night was in the NBA. Trey Kirby in attendance to watch DeJounte Murray score a career-high 44 points, and he makes the game-winning shot in overtime as the Hawks outlast the Celtics 123-122. You got an incredible game.
You could have called me Trepidation Trey heading down to the arena last night. After the Hawks had a 30-point comeback on Monday against these very same Celtics, Hawks playing on the second night of a back-to-back, I thought this was going to be a Beantown blowout, as did basically everybody I went with. Mm-hmm. My wife has family in town. We're going with cousins and that kind of stuff. They're big NBA sickos as well. They're like, this could be bad. Instead, we got an incredible game. 40 lead changes, 14 ties. I think the Celtics' biggest lead was 8 points. Hawks' biggest lead was 4. Wow. It was back and forth the entire time. At one point, my 7-year-old says to me, Dad, it just keeps going Hawks-Celtics. I was like, yeah, this is a real game of basketball. It wasn't until after the game that I realized DeJounte Murray took 44 shots to get his 44 points, scored all 11 in overtime for Atlanta. And it felt like he should have taken another 44. Every shot felt like a good shot to me. He was just carrying the team, and he had one guy with him at basically all times. Like, Bogdanovich was huge in the first half and made a couple of threes late in the fourth quarter. DeAndre Hunter, 14 of his 21 in the third quarter, 13 rebounds, had a pass to Bogey for a three-pointer to tie it in regulation. Just an incredible game to watch. So many highlights. A guy made a half-court shot for $10,000 in the first quarter. We're like, this is the best game we've ever seen.
Jesus. Did you get Chick-fil-A? Nice. If you got Chick-fil-A, that was the perfect basketball game.
No Chick-fil-A. Too many clutch free throws made, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yep. That was the highlight for me until the fourth quarter, really. Jack hitting that jackpot shot. Jack taking a jackpot shot. Just a wild dribble to get into his shot. He dribbled up to his head.
Yeah.
But he felt comfortable. He was also just wagging his head back and forth, shaking his head back and forth before shooting that shot that he buried. No problem.
10K. That's solid. Good job by the Hawks. 10K is the bare minimum, in my opinion, for a half-court shot nowadays. We see less. We see, like, TVs.
Yeah, okay.
Like, 5K.
Better than a TV.
10K is decent.
Yeah, sure.
You can bump it up a little bit. I don't think they can. I didn't see it, but it's famous. Don Calhoun in the 90s made $1 million shot. Yeah. That was the 90s. Yeah. This is the only thing that has had deflation since the 1990s.
But they didn't half court?
They didn't want to pay him.
Three-quarter court.
Yeah,
whoa, wow.
And they didn't want to pay him, I thought.
They didn't want to pay him, but they did. Yeah. Michael Jordan said, you better pay up.
Yeah.
And this kid was...
You don't welch on your bets, Michael Jordan.
That's right. Anyway, so yeah, a guy hitting a half-court shot for $10K.
Jackpot.
And yeah, DeJounte Murray was the star.
Yeah. Well, Jack was awesome as well, but DeJounte Murray was fantastic. I thought from the get-go, he had 19 shots in the first half. I mean, he was really chucking in the first half. He only had 19 points on 19 shots and then got scorching hot in overtime with all 11 points for DeJounte Murray. It was all his. They were really trying a lot harder. As you said, all those lead changes in this one, that's what was way different than the first time that they beat the Boston Celtics. When right. It was a 30-point lead. No problem. The Hawks came back. This one was far closer. They're putting forth a lot of effort. They had 13 second-chance points just in the second quarter. I mean, they were just working at it. 18 second-chance points through three quarters. And then that huge offensive rebound with 30 seconds left to get to Bogdan Bogdanovic's tying three to tie this thing. They're just trying harder. I don't want to just say, as I'm sure like the national media, the world's going to say, Boston Celtics, they lost two in a row. You got to worry about them. They lost the offensive rebound battle 17-9. I just feel like they just weren't trying as hard, frankly. I think that's a big part of this game. We're in Atlanta. We're going to talk about DeJounte Murray. The Celtics, they're chilling. They got the one seed.
Yeah.
Both in the East and in the NBA. So I think that was a part of it. But DeJounte Murray obviously saving the day.
Yeah, Atlanta Hawks' fourth straight win here, matching their longest win streak of the season. Remember the Hawks last year? That rarely happened. Did it ever happen? They were always one game within 500 forever there, I guess throughout their entire franchise history. But yeah, four straight, and yeah, they're second over Boston in this week.
They're the only team that's beat the Celtics twice this year.
Yeah, in crazy fashions both times, the huge comeback, and then this one to get it done in overtime where DeJounte just took over. Like, that was fun. That was like, you know, you're like, you want to keep running plays and get some action going, but sometimes you're just like, the guy can't miss when he was on fire there, and whatever the matchup was, and we're talking good defenders on him, either big defenders in Porzingis, that he was hitting some crazy arc on those jumpers over him.
Three straight he hit on Porzingis.
Yeah, and then Jrue Holiday at the end, who's one of the best defenders in the game, just got to his spot, though. A hell of a dribble to get into his jumper there and knocked it down. And then we had the hilarity of like 0.1 on the clock and all of them jockeying for position underneath, trying to do any sort of tip.
And Derek White made it. He made the inbounds pass.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't do that, though.
Right.
No.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was like, I've seen so much stuff in that game that I'd never seen before. I think the Jaylen Brown dunk was the best dunk I've ever seen live, because I've been thinking about it this week, like, randomly. I was like, I saw a Brandon Bass dunk. I saw a Paul Millsap dunk, both against the Celtics or involving the Celtics, and then this one as well.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown had a huge chase down block on DeAndre Hunter that was sick. Capella had a big-time block on Jason Tatum going to the rim for a dunk. DeJounte Murray had a chase down on a Jaylen Brown dunk that Derek White followed up. And then, of course, Trae Young got a technical for walking on the court. The guy's not even playing.
No.
And
no.
He still got a technical. I thought that was awesome. But, Tess, I got to disagree. The Celtics were absolutely playing this game. This felt like a playoff game from the beginning. It's just the Hawks went out and took it. 17 offensive rebounds, 28 second-chance points. That was what the Hawks did to the Heat in the play-in tournament last year, where they just completely crushed them on the glass. You don't see that from the Hawks always, but that's a Quinn Snyder thing. Go get those offensive boards. And the Celtics just couldn't keep them. That was the one weakness I thought we saw from Boston last night.
Defensive rebounding, yeah. They just weren't doing that. And I think that was where they're chilling out. They just knew. They know that they can go into the fourth quarter and just try and win a game. And I think that's what was happening in this one. Obviously, it did not happen because DeJounte Murray was playing freaking hard. There's that part. He was questionable coming into this game. And you could see him a little bit hurt with his back. I mean, his back, he was just kind of stumbling a little bit. He had tightness in his back in this one. And that was evident. But Bogdanovic said, he never quits. When I saw him, he was questionable. I was like, nah, he's good. He was questionable with that back tightness, but he absolutely did fight through it. Like, he was the guy who was shooting. Veet Krejci, the man who was playing against Jason Tatum. He was fighting to defend Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum did not like this guy. From the game before, he was guarding Jason Tatum. Yep. Jason Tatum did not like that. He just didn't like how Krejci gets into him. And this guy just uses his fouls. He uses them plenty. He uses them a lot. And he had another foul out in this one. Fouled out again. And only took one shot. He wasn't allowed to shoot. DeJounte Murray was the guy who got to shoot.
He had like 17, I think, on Monday.
Yeah.
He Krejci really did, well. But this game it was like, you're just playing defense, buddy. Yep. And I mean, Tatum was so physical with him. That was something that impressed me, was how physical Tatum was playing. This one got chippy, like in the second quarter. Lots of technicals going both ways. Of course, the Trae Young one came through as well. It felt like a potential 1-8 matchup in the playoffs. It could possibly happen.
Yep.
And didn't, I think, the Celtics or the Hawks took a game two games last year.
They played in the 2-7 matchup.
They like this. They like this matchup. Yeah. Certainly.
I flew up to I was in Boston for one of the games when the when
crazy.
The Celtics won. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could see this absolutely in a 1-8 matchup. Back to DeJounte and his 44 shots. StatMuse was sharing that tweet last night. Only Westbrook and Kobe have taken more shots in a game over the last 20 seasons. So it's Westbrook, Kobe, those would be the two guys you would probably guess, and now DeJounte Murray, and DeJounte retweeted it with a bunch of laughing emojis. Shout out to Russ and Kobe. I'm tired, dog. That's a lot of shots. But they were running through him, and he came through in overtime. Fun, fun game. I'm glad you and your fam got to take that one in down at the Fortress. That must have been bumping, too, with obviously Celtics fans, a good chunk of them in attendance, and then Hawks fans like trying to get another one here. That's a great atmosphere.
Every game should be 50-50. It's more exciting.
It's more
exciting than like 100% home crowd. Yep. I mean, it can be awesome if you're a team or if you're a fan of the team that's winning and you are a hometown fan. Like, I root for the Hawks because I'm a hometown homer.
Yeah.
But it's more exciting when there's cheers and jeers for every single basket.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously the Hawks coming into this game, underdogs, -16. They're underdogs by 16 freaking points in this game, and were able to come through and win this game, even after beating the Boston Celtics in the last game. Still 16-point dogs. And a lot of it was just playing hard. I loved watching Jason Tatum being guarded both by Avete Krejci, and then when Krejci got into his foul trouble, Wesley Matthews came off and was pissing off Jason Tatum as well. And Jason Tatum tried to crown Clint Capella with a huge dunk. He tried to crown him. It would have been a highlight everywhere. But Capella got up there for the block. This is the best we've seen Clint Capella all season long. And I mean, the PA announcer, while he blocked that shot, literally it felt like an and one game. PA announcer goes, during live play, he goes, I don't think so. I mean, what are we watching here? Like, this, it really did.
Oh, baby.
He's allowed. He's
oh,
allowed.
Baby.
He's allowed to do that. That's totally cool.
It sort of fits with Atlanta. You got all the rappers sitting courtside going nuts, and especially when DeJounte was cooking there in the overtime.
Rappers
like that.
Everybody is now, it's a new thing in Atlanta. You fall on the floor. That's what they're doing. And people in the front row are just falling on the floor.
Over.
Whoa, that's their thing. That's their thing, to chill out on the floor. But Wesley Matthews coming in, not only that, offensive rebound in the fourth quarter, offensive rebound in overtime with 25 seconds left, three offensive rebounds overall for a guy who, we all questioned whether or not he was getting a little bit old, but he's being Wesley Matthews right now. He's shooting 57% from three in March. They're hitting shots. That's why they're all feeling good. It was fun. It was just a fun game. Xavier Tillman had a beautiful spin move. Lots of good stuff. CeeLo Green was the halftime show.
CeeLo Green was the halftime show. And I was wondering if he was going to do FU as forget you or as the F word. And guess what? He went with the F word. He was giving the finger to the crowd the entire time.
Jesus!
I couldn't believe it, man.
That's amazing.
Okay.
That was hilarious.
Were you like, kids, don't worry about this? Or were they not even noticing?
I don't think they noticed what was happening.
All right.
I saw him. He was in the second row just watching the broadcast. He was drinking out of his metal cup. You know how they have those reusable metal cups? Love those cups.
For sure.
I don't want a plastic cup. So he was sitting there sipping, then killed it. He just killed it. I don't know what he was drinking. Maybe he was drinking something to drop an FU consistently.
You literally got the near-perfect NBA game. If you had gotten Chick-fil-A because the Celtics would have missed two free throws in the fourth quarter, then that is the perfect game.
That's right.
An overtime, basically, game winner, a career high from a guy, in an arena where it's 50-50 the crowd, you know, the half-court shot, CeeLo performing. Like, this is, you're check here.
We had a four-year-old little baby with us.
Okay.
First game for her.
Oh, well.
It's all downhill from here. You'll never see a better game.
It's not going to be like this, kid.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to move off of this, unless you got anything else.
No, my kids were very confused by the 0.1 seconds shot that went in, you know, from the inbound, Derek White's shot.
Yeah.
Because You're not allowed that.
It's weird.
But it's just teaching. Yeah, because Bob Rappin did say it on the broadcast. That is not allowed. You're not allowed to make a shot from this. But yeah, no Trae Young, always drinking in his coffee cup. No Onyeka Okongwu. No Jalen Johnson. No Sadiq Bey, who's a restricted free agent here. They got a good balance right now. They got a balance to give the Boston Celtics a fight in a first round if it does happen.
We don't need to like go for 10 minutes on this, but I just want to say I'm watching this game in a bar last night after DeJounte's kicking ass, taking over, and they pull out the victory. There was a whole lot of trade, we don't need him. There was a lot of chatter going on. A lot. The bartender, people watching the game, people I was watching the game with. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Slices, man. He's got takes.
He's got a lot of takes. And one of them was, we got to trade Trey. This is DeJounte's team. I'm just saying.
That's the guy you play basketball with.
No, he's the bartender at the bar everybody goes to after we play basketball.
Okay, just want to confirm. Mr. Slices.
He does have a lot of takes, though. We should have him on.
I think he's a big Kansas Jayhawks fan, if I'm not mistaken. That's DeJounte Murray's third game winner of the season.
Clutch player of the year?
Maybe. That's the sad thing for the Hawks is they're going to get eliminated in the play-in game, but fun for them right now.
Yeah.
We could be hosting one here. Dude, it's getting closer. It's getting very much closer that they could take over the Chicago Bulls.
And he'll be in attendance
for the 9-10. But yeah, DeJounte Murray's hit a lot of game winners. He had a very similar shot at the end of the first quarter, the first quarter buzzer. He gets into that flow and gets into the mid-range. That's what he does. And we watched another good one. Another great one. And then the whole Trae Young thing, he did celebrate with Trae Young. I think they are buddies. Yeah, he went forehead to forehead. Yeah. A long, like, 5-second, like...
yeah.
What were they saying during that forehead to forehead? Were they battling or was it just a celebration? I'm sure they're just loving it.
Let's move to Zion Williamson scoring 28 points as they closed out the Pelicans, or excuse me, help the Pelicans close out the Bucks 107-100. Good game here too. Obviously Giannis putting up big numbers, but Zion down the stretch, unlike that Thunder game, ball was going through him. He was getting the touches. He was attacking. He was living at the free throw line. He had a lot of free throws. 16 free throw attempts for Zion Williamson last night. Whole lot of times. But your takeaways, your thoughts, either of you.
Well, I thought it was an effort to get Zion Williamson going in those final few minutes. The effort after last game where he wasn't shooting. Last game, no shots in the final 3 minutes. And in this case, he had 5 free throws in the last few minutes. It was definitely to go through him. But it was also the focus on the defensive end that was impressive. They lost to OKC in that game, and Zion Williamson was a part of this game defensively. Drew that charge on Giannis midway through the fourth quarter. It was challenged and turned over, but who cares? It did. The effort was important. And then he had a huge defensive rebound over Giannis as time ticked down. But it was a nice change up, I think, for Willie Green, Jaron Collins, who is their defensive coordinator, to switch things up in the first half, really, because the Bucks take the 6 most threes in the game. And they weren't allowed to in this game because New Orleans was fighting over every single screen. They weren't just allowing the dropbacks. They were fighting to get there. And the Pelicans were able to win this game hitting 5 less threes, if I am correct here, 5 fewer threes. That's pretty impressive in a game like that. The Bucks just couldn't get to what they wanted. They improved in the second half. They did improve. Doc got them going in the second half, but way better effort by the Pelicans in that second quarter to turn things.
Yeah, Larry Nance, was talking about all the wings on the Pelicans team. He said, we got more wings than KFC. That's what he said. It's crazy. We got Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, Najee Marshall. We have some really long-armed athletic wings who can cause havoc on the defensive end, plugging up holes and filling gaps. And then he sort of finished that thought with like him and JV Valanciunas, who did have a good game too, 17 points, 10 boards, as sort of the back line. It's a great point. They got a lot of athletic guys that are just long, and can, when you switch up the defense like that, you can take away maybe something from Milwaukee, which they did. But it was a good win from the Pelicans here.
Yeah, and Larry only played when Jonas sat. That was a good move, I think, by the Pelicans again to see Jonas Valanciunas out there, who matches up well against this team. If there's a team that Jonas Valanciunas matches up with well, it's this team. But when Giannis sat down, Willie Green said, Jonas, you sit down too, because we'll go to Larry Nance. And Larry Nance was awesome in this game. So that was a nice little change up there. They had those two different offenses, Jonas and then the Nats, and I was wrong about the five. Six threes, though, for the Nats. Six threes. The Pelicans hit more than the Bucks, or sorry, the Bucks hit more than the Pelicans, but they just played harder, man.
It was fun watching Zion versus Giannis. It's like twins, Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. They play the same way, but they're completely different shaped people. And it was awesome to actually see them matched up with each other. It's like if you give either of these guys space, they don't really want to take the jumper, but they'll go straight through both of the guys waiting at the rim. There were so many where Zion was like splitting Giannis and Brooke, and they would just, it seemed like they didn't understand how he could fit through the gap there, going to his right and still finishing left hand. And then Giannis is the complete flip side. He's playing on the left side of the court, shooting all right-handed layups. That was awesome. Giannis going for 20 straight in the third. Incredible. Then he didn't get a shot in the fourth quarter until 30 seconds left. That was like a Zion versus OKC kind of thing, which you saw Zion in this game. Just putting his head down, getting to the free throw line after taking no shots the last 3 minutes against OKC. Bucks, I mean, like, we got 10 games left in the season, and they're still trying to figure out the perfect balance between Dame and Giannis in these fourth quarters. A little late in the season to be trying to figure that out when you're trying to make a run here.
It was funny to hear Zion after the game, like, marveling at Giannis and his ability to have those 20 straight and the 35 and 14. This is what Zion said. Man, I thought I attacked the basket, as he was, like, shaking his head. He has a high motor. I've got to give him his respect on that. He's always on the attack. Yeah, again, especially in that third quarter, but sort of went missing in the fourth, and Zion started doing that and showing that high motor and went 10 to 16 at the line. Again, that's a season high free throw attempts. That's a lot of free throw attempts for Zion, and he had 11 points in the fourth quarter, and that's why they won this game. Good stuff from the Pelicans as they fight here for the 4-5 spot. And Knicks fans are happy too. Bucks lost. Knicks were a game back from number two seed. Yeah. Yeah. That surprised me when I read it. I was like, what? I thought they were way more back than that, but number two seed in play for New York here down the stretch. Any other thoughts on Pels Bucks? Only two games on last night. It's refreshing, isn't it? You can really lock
two games,
in.
Man. That's weird.
You can lock in on them. Well, sort of spinning off of the Pelicans, and who have been playing really well here since the All-Star break, I thought it'd be fun to do a little top five. Let's do it.
Top five, top five, top five.
Top five. Top five hottest teams since the All-Star break. Shout out to NBA.com's Sean Powell for inspiring this one. Little closer look at teams with some momentum since the All-Star break. We'll count them down 5 through 1. The fifth spot was sort of difficult. There were multiple teams to pick from. I thought about the Mavericks, who have recently been very hot, but they didn't start after the All-Star break all that great. Thought about the Pelicans. Thought about the Bucks. I think if Milwaukee had won last night, I probably would have slotted them in here. But I'm going to show love to Orlando. 12-5 since the All-Star break. Again, this probably would have gone to Milwaukee had they won. And the Pelicans are 12-6 since the All-Star break. But one of those losses came to this Orlando team. Magic, number one defense since All-Star weekend. Since the break, they rank number 5 in opponent turnovers, 2nd in opponent second chance points, and number 4 in opponent points in the paint. Doing it on the defensive end. Yes, the schedule was very kind to Orlando, even though they played some Charlottes, they played some Raptors and all that. But you can only play who's in front of you. And them having a better defense than the Pelicans, who are 2nd since the All-Star break in defensive rating, just had me eke them past them at the number 5 spot. But really good here. Again, easy schedule. Like to see them bounce back here in these next couple of games because they had a few losses here, the Magic have, against good teams in the West. But we'll see how they go here for the final 10. Number 5, though, on the list. Number 4, the Oklahoma City Thunder. 13-5. They started the second half of the season here after the All-Star break, 4 games in 6 nights. They won all 4. They hammered the Clippers. They put 147 on the Wizards, and they won the home and away series with the Rockets, who you're going to see on this list, obviously. I would say that the Thunder's play has slipped a little bit over the last couple weeks, just a little bit, but they're still, since the All-Star break, top 7 on both sides of the ball. Offensive rating, defensive rating, they're just a damn good team. They've beaten the Suns. They've beaten the Mavericks. They've beaten the Pelicans here in March. They play fast. You obviously have an MVP guy. You got a Rookie of the Year candidate. You got an MIP guy maybe in Jalen Williams. They have all these pieces. Young legs, I think, are helping here. You're seeing the pace they're playing at. Mm-hmm. So they are 4th on the list.
They lost to the Rockets, but
that's
the
right.
Rockets also have young legs.
That's right. They play even faster than OKC since the All-Star break. And the Rockets are number 3 on the list at 13-5. The Rockets were 25-34 when February ended. And now they own the league's longest active winning streak after they beat OKC there in that overtime game on Wednesday. The run is at 10 straight wins. They've got the Jazz and Mavericks coming up to close out March. So they play the Jazz here next. That could be 11, the way that Utah's playing. That Mavericks-Rockets game could be very, very fun. Jalen Green, this guy's got the game genie right now. He's averaging 30 points per game during the streak. He's doing it efficiently. He's got a pair of 40-plus games and a pair of 37-point games over this win streak. He's rolling. And it's wild that all of this is happening without Elprin Şengün, their best player.
It's unbelievable.
Their leading scorer. He goes down and then they rip this off. They're playing fast. They're jacking a bunch of threes. They're doing really well on the offensive glass. They've just found something right now, and they're a feel-good story. So, yeah, they're number three.
So it sounds like it's good to have a lot of young guys on your team if you're playing an 82-game season.
I think it helps.
Yeah.
I think it does indeed.
Especially in March, yeah.
But
they're almost undefeated this month. They lost March 6th.
Yeah.
They could have an undefeated month. It's so good for the Rockets to actually be playing games that matter. Like, it's too bad that Şengün is out for this because it'd be good to get him some important minutes as well. But, like, Jalen Green has never played an important game in his career until this month, and he's showing out. So even if it ends up being, even if he goes back to 22 points a game next season or something like that, who cares? This is cool to see.
Yep. Number two on the list, a little older, but they had been dominating, the Boston Celtics, one of the hottest teams since the All-Star break. 14-4. They've only lost four games. Two to the Hawks this week, and all of the losses by a combined 10 points. That's it. They lost to the Nuggets by six. They lost to the Cavs, I believe, by one. And then, what's that leave? A total of 3 points to the Hawks. They lost by two, and then they lost by one. That's pretty wild. They've done all of this, by the way, 14-4, still having the ability to give some breathers to some of their core guys, right? You know, we've seen Porzingis miss a game here or there, Holiday, Tatum, you know, just for like little minor things. But they've been able to get like these games off for some of these guys and still put up a 14-4 record. They're still basically on pace to win 65 games. They're going to be the number one seed. I mean, that's locked up in the East. They basically are, you know, they're finishing the season sort of as strong as they started it. So, impressive stuff. The defense has slipped a little bit since the All-Star break, but number one in offensive rating and net rating by a damn mile. So, good stuff from the Celtics. They never turn the ball over. They don't hurt themselves. And they're getting ready here for the postseason. But number one on the list, it's the Denver Nuggets. 15-3. Their three losses since the All-Star break, they lost twice to Kevin Durant, one game without Jamal Murray, and they lost by 2 points to Luka and the Mavericks.
I would say they lost that one to Kyrie.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. That's right. That was the crazy shot. But they have beaten, the Nuggets have, since the All-Star break, Minnesota, Sacramento, Miami twice, and of course the Celtics on that March 7th game, which could be a finals preview, maybe a sneak peek. Nuggets ranked top five on both sides of the ball since the All-Star break. And I wonder, when you compare it to last year, they went 12-11, remember, after the All-Star break. They sort of were, like, in control of the conference. They wanted to get healthy and all that. But here they are with the Wolves and the Thunder sort of, like, you know, nipping at their heels for that number one seed. Maybe it's helping them keep them sharp. Obviously, it seems like that's a goal of theirs, to get the number one seed. We know the text that Jokic sent out. So it's just very different. It's very different than last year, where they took their foot off the pedal, sort of coasted into the postseason, and then ripped off awesome series in all their matchups. But, you know, the opposite here. I'm calling them the best team since the All-Star break, and I'm not sure you can argue it.
Yeah, and it's different for the supporting players as well, like your Aaron Gordon or your Michael Porters, that have now won a title and are now doing this, you know, with an extra level of confidence here in the second half. And those supporting guys, they're starting to feel even better. And they obviously helped out in the entire playoffs. But Michael Porter Jr. was a little quiet, you know, in the finals. So I think it bodes well for this team.
So there it is right now. Top five hottest teams since the All-Star break, with honorable mentions to your Pelicans and your Bucks and your Mavericks. But Magic at five, Thunder at four, Rockets at three, Celtics at two, Nuggets at one. Sort of funny to think that one of those teams that have played the best basketball since the All-Star break may not even be in the play-in, with the Rockets still having to catch the Warriors. But so is life. We got to take a break. When we come back, worst of the week, rapid fire, don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory, having fun on a Friday. Let's get to Worst of the Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Worst of the Week.
I asked you all out there who should be Worst of the Week. You guys are great. There was a big Draymond Green push. Sure. We talked about it on Thursday. You can go check it out there. I couldn't give it to him. Don't swear at the referees. How about that? There was a funny moment in a Raptors broadcast that was very funny where the broadcasters were trying to pitch. They're trying to show a feature.
Yeah.
But the feature wasn't being shown. So unfortunately, it was Kate, Kia, and Leo. They had to just stare at the camera for a while. But kudos to them for staring at the camera for a while. That was a great moment. But the worst of the week has to go to Timberwolves owner Glenn Taylor, because he is no longer selling the team to Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez. But it seemed like a sure thing. They signed a deal a few years ago. This was the deal, okay? They had it done. In 2021, they all agreed. You have to pay in 3 payments to get this thing done. 2021, pay for 20%, did that. Check. 2023, pay for another 20%. Check. Did that. All right, we got 40%. We have 40% of the team. Then early 2024, an additional 40%. That's all you got to do. And then this week, Taylor released a statement saying Lori and A-Rod didn't fulfill their part of the deal. Lori and Rodriguez released a statement, which in part said, "We have fulfilled our obligations, have all necessary funding." Glenn Taylor's statement is an unfortunate case of seller's remorse. Oh, yes. Hey. Yes, that appears to be the truth right there. That truth little nugget right there. Mm. Taylor also released this to The Athletic. Not sure if he was given a truth serum before he said this, but listen to this. This is the quote. "We're just saying we had a contract with you guys. You've had your time, and this is the end of the contract, and we're just kind of go on running the way we've been run." It's an oddly said, and it's an oddly worded thing here by Taylor, but it goes on. "I just think built this team. I just think built this team. That's what I did with my brain. Anyways, we've got the players now, and it appears to me that we should have a very positive run for a number of years, and I want to be a part of that." Now, he didn't yell it like I did, but that's what he said.
Maybe he did.
So Taylor wants to keep the 60% that he owns. So what is going to happen? Well, it's unclear what will change. We know the purchase agreement calls for mediation and arbitration to resolve any such disputes. We also know that under the terms of the agreement, Lori and Rodriguez retain the 40% of the team that they have already purchased. So you get the minority.
That's the very weird part of this.
That hurts, yeah. This also said by Taylor, "I will continue to work with Mark, Alex, and the rest of the ownership group to ensure our teams have the necessary resources to compete at the highest levels on and off the court. The Timberwolves and Lynx, who they would also own, are no longer for sale." Dun, dun, dun. So what is your opinion of that, gentlemen? Because they get 40%. Taylor still holds 60%. Now, this isn't done, done, done.
Right.
But it sure feels that way. And I think the big question for me is Lori and Rodriguez, are they stuck with this because of these partial chunks agreement that they came to? Because they basically had the rugs, you know, removed from under them. They got their 40%, but you just didn't do it. And maybe Taylor said, you just didn't do it this last part to get the rest of it. And so maybe he's able to do that.
But that was, I believe, Taylor's out in this whole thing. You missed the deadline, boys. Sorry. Deal's off the table.
Uh-huh.
If he wanted to, if he still wanted to sell the other 40%, obviously, to these guys, you can grant an extension. No problem.
Oh, he could sell it. Yeah,
absolutely.
But I just wonder...
now is like, well, yeah, is it because, holy crap, hold on. $1.5 billion, first off, what was I thinking? Way too low. And now this is like sort of pandemic. This is the Wolves not being relevant for 25 years. Now suddenly they're the good. You've got a franchise guy. There's a buzz around this team. It's worth way more than $1.5 billion. The Hornets went for $3
billion. Yeah.
So it's at least that, if not more. So is he just, this is greedy Glenn going, oh, hold on. They missed this one deadline. Oh, well, maybe this is my out. I'm going to be able to sell this for way more if I eventually even do want to sell. Or maybe he's just like, hey, holy crap, maybe we could win a championship. I'd love to touch that trophy. I'd love to still be a part of this and be the majority owner. There's also that.
Or maybe he's just saying they don't have the money. They've been trying to buy this team for 3 years.
Yeah.
John Krasinski reported that no money has been exchanged yet. They're buying a team on layaway? Does that make sense?
Not usually, because usually a billionaire comes in.
Literally anybody. Yeah. Like, Matt Ishbia is like, I'm going to buy the Suns, and he had the Suns in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
Same with Jimmy Haslam and the Bucks, right? Yeah. Like, if you've got the money, you pay for it right away, and you have the team.
But
interesting
also
that they haven't given money, though, at all, because they do own 40% of the team.
No, they have.
That's surprising. You don't see deals like this.
You don't see deals like this. This has taken 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what was written in, that it was allowed to happen this way. And that's why they were given 40% here. But I just wonder, because of this deal that's never written in terms of transferring any team, that just because they signed it here where these partial chunks are included in it, that maybe they just won't get the team at all, period. Done. It sure feels that way. It just sure feels like they paid what I would think would have been $750 million to get, you know, 40% of this team, because that's...
Yeah, maybe they've done that part. But
yeah.
Maybe the last part hasn't happened, but I don't know. I just saw that part in the John Krasinski article. I was like, that's strange to me, and it's just a strange structure of a deal. Like, they had a handshake deal 3 years ago, and it's still not done? That doesn't make any sense. So I guess Glenn Taylor, as he did with Kevin Garnett, said, I'm going to sell the team, but then there was an out to it. And he's taken the out. That's just like, unfortunately, how billionaire businessmen do it. And apparently he's got a deeper pocketbook than Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lori, which it's really Mark Lori who's loaded. Alex Rodriguez made a lot of athlete money, but not the same as businessman money. So I don't really know who's in the wrong here. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's going to obviously be a thing that goes before a bunch of courts. And we're going to be seeing a lot of business documents flying around. But it does deserve a worst of the week, because this is the best Timberwolves season since Kevin Garnett was around, if not even more so. And they get even more expensive starting next year because Anthony Edwards' extension kicks in, Jalen McDaniels' extension kicks in, Karl Anthony Towns is getting a raise. They got to try and sign Kyle Anderson. It's the best time for the Timberwolves literally this season, and it puts even more pressure, I feel like, on the team to perform, because we don't know who's actually going to be able to stick around next year, especially if there's question marks about either the owner keeping the team right now or a new group coming in who maybe doesn't have very deep pockets. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is also weird that Taylor owned 100% of the team. He's given up 40% of that team, still owns 60% of that team, has been paid a lot of money in terms of the conversations that they've had, you know, throughout the years, throughout the Kevin Garnett years and all that. But it just seems like he just wants to control the team and be here for the good season.
Yeah.
That's really what it seems like it's come down to. With a very, very odd deal in the first place. And that it takes multiple years for the transaction to happen in multiple transactions within that transaction, which it sure feels like they have done their part. And we'll see if this mediation arbitration that resolves disputes within this agreement can happen. But for Glenn Taylor, I just feel like, I like this. I'm going to stick around.
I've had this team for 25 years. We were crap every year, basically, almost every year. And then now we're good. And man, these guys, like, their whole thing, they're saying, Rodriguez and Lori, they're like, they did lose the financial backing of the Carlyle Group that was going to give them the $300 million for this payment we're talking about. That fell through, but they like maybe they were like forward thinking, whatever. They had a backup in place. They say they have it. They're like, we have another financial backing for it. But now you're just saying because we missed this March 27th deadline that you're like done with us. And they're saying that's only because you just have seller's remorse. You sold it too cheap for us in this very weird deal back in 2021. And also the team is good. And so if they were, you know, 20 wins right now, maybe this is like doesn't happen at all. That's what they're saying, of course. It's really weird to see them like, I mean, they're like taking shots in the media like instantaneously. But now it's going to go to arbitration, mediation, and this will be a cloud that sort of hangs over decisions, at least like you said, definitely, Trey, moving forward. Like, do I think Anthony Edwards is freaking out right now? No. Does he even know this is going on? Probably not. That's sort of how he carries himself. But plans that needed to be decided, contracts that needed to be decided, if you don't know who's in charge, sometimes things are just like put on hold. Mm-hmm. Which could come into play here, but what a weird thing here.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely
can't
is
wait
a
to hear Kevin
thing.
Garnett's thoughts on this. I'll tell you. Fire up that pod. Oh my God. Yeah. That snake.
Yeah. And at some point, I mean, where does the 60% go? Who does it go to? Does he try and sell to somebody else to take ownership?
Right. Does he try and buy back the 40% from these guys? There's options.
Yeah, because at the same time, yes, it's. It should be valued at more than $1.5 billion overall as a team, as the Timberwolves and the Minnesota Lynx.
The Lynx, yeah.
There's no doubt it should be valued for more. But at the same time, it sure feels as though he was paid a lot of money. You know, he was paid for 40% of this, so maybe he's just happy to get 40% and say...
Yeah, right. That's what Brian Windhorst was questioning. This is like a big brain galaxy move, like that this type of deal, this structure, these payments. He got the 40%. That's an influx of cash that Taylor has. And then, you know, when they struggled or whatever or didn't hit deadlines to come up with the rest of it, he's like, thanks for the 40%. I'll keep the rest of the 60%. We'll go from here. But, you know, they're going to push back on this and say, hey, we had this deal. We had this agreement, blah, 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 blah. Can't wait.
I love courtroom dramas.
Exactly. So that's just your winner for worst of the week.
Of course. That's it. You can include Draymond, sure. Everybody does.
Jonte.
It's been a conversation. Although,
I forgot that was this week.
Jonte Porter.
Jonte Porter, of course. Although, Rasheed Wallace, who's been on Gilbert Arenas' show this week, would probably make Draymond Green winner of the week because slowly but surely, Draymond Green is creeping towards Rasheed Wallace, who's been ejected the most of any player in NBA history. Draymond Green's getting closer. And so
how close
Rasheed
is
Wallace
it?
Was super happy.
Is it Draymond's at 21 and Sheed is a 29? Is that right?
They're both in the 20s.
Yeah, I think
that's a crazy
number. I think it's
it
that.
Is a lot.
Yeah.
Rasheed Wallace
he's still got a pretty good
lot.
Gap, but you're right.
Yeah.
His name's coming up more and more
he's
when
happy.
Draymond gets
yeah,
another
actually,
rejection.
He was on Gil's show and Rasheed Wallace said, let's fucking go. And he pumped his fist. Let's fucking go, Draymond. Keep getting ejected. I don't know if he's going to catch him. I don't think so.
That's still a lot. I mean, if it is indeed eight, if she does 29, like I said.
Yeah, Draymond's got what, four, I think, this season?
Yeah.
Another couple of
years. I mean,
years.
It's in play.
It's in play.
Hey, let's put it this way. If he wants that record, he can go get that record. That's not the issue.
Yeah.
It's whether he actually wants it. And, you know, he doesn't want to make his teammates cry and stuff like that, getting tossed again. We'll see. All right. Good worst of the week, Tass.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure.
Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominant Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Let's wrap up this drop podcast with some rapid-fire fun. JD, you got the questions. We got the answers.
Yeah. Somebody put this tweet in the Slack channel from Memphis assistant Coach Lou.
Okay.
It's a picture of Bowser from Mario Brothers. And it says, I had a dream that Bowser won NBA MVP last night. There was some branded NBA and Nintendo corporate sponsored crossover, and they literally gave the award to a fictional character instead of Tatum, Luka, SGA, etc. Bill Simmons was furious. Guys, the question off this is, what fictional character would you like to see win MVP this year? Skeets.
I'm going to stick in that same universe.
Mm.
Waluigi, number one! I just wanted to wear this hat.
I haven't seen that hat in a long time.
Yeah, I know. Waluigi, number one! So give me, hey, look, he's long, he's lengthy, he's a problem in the post. Waluigi was a bucket. Yeah. So yeah, I'll go with him.
You had that hat on your lap this whole time?
Yeah. Wow. I was trying to keep it a secret from Task.
That's awesome.
For podcast listeners, you got to check out the YouTube of that hat.
Yeah, I don't even know. How do you, I mean, it check really is a Waluigi hat.
Totally.
Or yeah. A Wario
what
hat.
Is that thing?
Isn't it like we need Lee here? He's the expert. Isn't this called like a baggy cap or something like that?
Yeah, that's something right. Like cricket,
like a cricket hat.
Yeah.
The first time you wore that, I went down a deep hole looking for a Chicago Bulls one. They exist out there on eBay.
They do.
I think I have like one. Yeah.
It's a very, very warm hat.
It looks warm.
It's so warm. My head's on fire. I've had it on for like 15 seconds, so I might take it off. But Waluigi MVP, baby.
Great answer, yeah. Tassie.
I'm going with the character by the name of Leo in the new movie, Leo. It's a great movie. It's The Lizard. It's an animated movie. He's played by Adam Sandler. He's awesome. Adam Sandler kills it. Leo is a 74-year-old lizard. He's in a classroom with kids. Kids love him. And he's almost at the end of his life. Feels like he's going to die, but the kids, they bring him back.
Ah.
So it's really well done. By Happy Madison Productions and friends. Great stuff.
Oh, okay.
Adam Sandler's, you know, all his accents he does. But this is just perfect Adam Sandler.
Leo is funny. Perfect. I was surprised how funny.
Oh, you watched it? Yeah, I've
never heard of this.
No, I've never seen this or heard of it, yeah. That's but Glenn Taylor's 8 years older than Leo, the lizard. So, you know, just wanted that fact out there.
All right, shout out to Leo.
Love it. Like the Don't Cry song. That was hilarious.
Yes. Yeah.
Crying's for wimps. Basically. I'm like, well, we teach our kids basically the exact opposite. This is hilarious. Yeah, I love that song.
All right, Trey, what's your fictional character winning MVP this year?
I got to give it up to my guy Cyclops.
Oh.
He's been great in X-Men 97. I only watched the first two episodes, but this guy was like a major Herb in the 1990s. He's cool now. Cyclops is the unquestioned leader of the X-Men, and he's a lot cooler in this version of the series. Like, if you watched it back in the 90s, you didn't like Cyclops. You probably liked Gambit, who was my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And he does look great in the crop top, but you definitely liked Wolverine. Wolverine was such a badass. And he still is, but they've upped the quotient for Cyclops this year, so I gotta give him, he's like a Jason Tatum character.
Oh.
The best player on the best team of mutants.
I was gonna say, if he doesn't win MVP, it sounds like he's in the running for most improved.
Totally.
Give it to Cyclops.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Way to go, Scott. Is it Scott?
That's Scott, yeah.
Yeah, Scott, okay. Way to go, Scott.
Way to go, Scott.
Okay, next one. Yesterday, we discussed episode 2 of J.J. Redick and LeBron James' podcast, Mind the Game. Mm-hmm. It's like classic albums or Jon Favreau's Dinner for Five, but instead of music or films, they do a deep dive on basketball. Boring! JK. The whole time they drink a very small amount of wine, I noticed. Like, I scrubbed through that thing. They barely make a dent. Two bottles on the table. By the way, what's the wine? Do they ever tell you?
I think it's maybe in the first episode. Maybe it's one of those, like, we don't know we're recording yet. I feel like LeBron is talking about some of the vintages he had. Okay. I could be wrong.
They sort of make a big deal of showcasing it.
Anyways. I thought it was blurred out. Wasn't the label blurred out?
Well, I thought so. Well, they were pointed away from the camera. Anyways.
Yeah. Anyway.
They should only drink NBA player wines.
Yeah. Harden, McCollum.
Dwayne Wade has a wine. Yeah. McCollum, exactly right.
Yeah. Channing Frye.
Channing Frye.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great idea.
Anyway, the question is, other than basketball, of course, what podcast would you like to tackle, and what are we drinking, Skeets?
Well, this one's probably for Trey and Trey alone, and I don't even know if you've started watching it. I forgot to ask you, but The Valley? Do you know of The Valley?
I don't know The Valley.
Another shitty Bravo show?
Is this Jackson, Brittany are back? And they're Kristen back. Doty?
They are back. From bottle service to baby bottles, close friends and reality stars find their way out of the young and fast life of the Hollywood Lights. Yes, they are now they're families. It's awesome. You're going to be all in on this one because that guy is a psychopath, Jax. And they have even people that are crazier than him on the show, other couples that he knows. So we got to do The Valley, where we talk about it. And I guess we got to drink because they seem to always be drinking it on the show. Is it Clase Azul, that premium tequila? They're always drinking it.
Everybody's drinking Azul.
Everybody's drinking it on the show.
Not that I've watched the show, but everybody's drinking Azul.
Yeah. So I guess we got to have that on the table while we talk about The Valley.
Man, first the X-Men come back, and then the X-Man Jax comes back. This guy's an absolute reality TV legend. Oh, what a mess.
He's insane, man. It's, dare I say, it is good for a really crappy reality
how
TV.
How many eps we talking?
It's just like probably three eps in. Oh. Maybe two. Yeah. Yeah, just started.
It's a great time to get in.
Perfect time to get in.
All right. New spinoff.
Tassie.
Well, my topic is non-alcoholic cocktails, non-alcoholic beers, all non-alcoholic drinks.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about it, and that's what we'll be drinking on the show, because I'm trying to find some. Since I was hit by a car 6 months ago, I can't have alcohol.
Right.
I've been drinking, you know, a lot of non-alcoholic beers. Our man Eno Saris did a great job writing about this on The Athletic a while back, so I was excited. They all taste freaking good. The beers taste like you're having a freaking beer with alcohol in it.
Yeah.
It tastes exactly like it. The mocktails, I haven't found too many. I haven't found too many that are killer. It's just an odd thing. I find mocktails just kind of odd.
Yeah.
They bite. You know, there's some smokiness to them.
Okay.
So they're good. Anyways, I'll have the people who make them. Can you name... We just named all the winemakers in the NBA. Can you name the mocktails makers? Or that'd be tough. But
no.
Anyway,
Malik Monktails.
Yeah, Malik Monktails, very nice.
Well, CJ Mocktail album. And I'm done.
Wow,
they're getting worse.
Well, the beers are
Mock McClung.
Mock McClung. That was nice, man. That was nice.
Not bad.
That's the best one.
The beers are just made by the beer makers.
Right.
Like Heineken makes a really good one. Peroni makes a really good one. They all make really good ones.
They do really well.
So anyways, it'd be nice. To have a non-alcoholic beer sometimes.
Yeah, of course. Trey?
I want to do a podcast all about watching old Westerns, and instead of drinking anything, we've got cheap cigars in our mouth the whole time. Clint Eastwood style. I can see why this guy was a star.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, I'm going back and watching these movies that are 60 years old and they 100% hold up.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'd seen The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly when I was young, watching it with fathers and grandfathers. And then I watched it as a man.
Right.
I'm like, this is one of the best movies ever. Right. Still, to this day. Yeah. I don't know if they've been improved since, but I don't know. I still love new Westerns. Like, I remember liking 310 to Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, which I think is a remake.
It is.
Yeah.
The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
I don't know what that was called.
That was a cool one as well.
That sounds right.
Yeah, slow moving, but man, get these close ups. Sergio Leone. Great stuff. Yeah,
Good, Bad, the Ugly, 1966. Wow.
Yep.
It's old.
Yeah. That's good, old. Though.
Where are you watching those? Netflix?
These are on Max, at least the Fistful of Dollars trilogy
is. Yeah. Is that Sergio?
Yeah. He made three, and it was like two great Westerns, and then The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which is just sickness.
Yeah.
It's like, Quentin Tarantino, who do you think you are?
Yeah, man? Exactly.
You watch that, and you're like, amateur hour.
Yeah, right. Totally. Did you like Tombstone?
I haven't seen Tombstone recently, but that's on my list to rewatch, and The Unforgiven, another Clint movie. Tombstone was, I remember loving Tombstone when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That's why I was convinced Val Kilmer was the greatest actor.
Oh, wow. Wow.
He plays Doc? Doc
I
Hall?
Think that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 93 it came out. Didn't it win, did it win an Oscar?
Unforgiven won Best Picture. Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking. But I don't know if Tombstone.
No, that's, I think that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. There were two Tombstone movies as well, right? Two Wyatt Earp movies. Costner had one, and then... Mm. Yeah, anyways. Last one, and this is totally out of left field. In other news that my wife is a little too excited for, Krispy Kreme donuts will now be available, or will be available, at all McDonald's locations by the end of 2026. Danger. Guys, what's a junk food combination you simply can't resist, Skeets?
Why is this not until the end of 2026? What is this, a wolf sale?
It's a slow rollout.
Yeah. You gotta give us 20% of the donuts up front and then another 40 later.
Right.
Like, what the hell? But okay, that's fun. I have shared this, what I have called the donor snack before.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say
If we're putting you know, donuts and McDonald's burgers together, then give this a go. I'm telling you, once again, for those that don't know what I'm talking about, the J.E. Skeets stoner snack, brie on top of a ketchup chip on top of a graham cracker. Thank me later. Okay? You got to be stoned, but thank me later. It's incredible.
Sorry, so it's...
A little piece of brie.
Cracker, brie, ketchup chip.
Sure, it doesn't matter the... Yes, sure, that's probably a better order.
Okay.
In terms of the makeup of the little treat.
It's like a mortar.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You could stab the chip into the brie as sort of present, like a sail, you know, sailboat.
But you need to take it all in one bite.
Oh, okay.
You need all three flavors
in
harmony, and it's going to blow your mind, because it sounds disgusting, I understand that. It might to you, but... It works.
It's the ketchup chip that's thrown me off.
No.
It's the tang.
Yes, exactly. Give it a go this weekend while you're watching March Madness. Ketchup chips, tough to find for some people.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What would you substitute? Like a barbecue chip, probably in the U.S.?
You need the tang is the problem.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I think you really got to have a ketchup chip. I think it has to be.
It's ketchup or nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Import them.
They've come.
Yeah, they're here.
They're here.
Okay. Yeah, they're here.
They made it. They made it across
the
border.
They set foot on our soil.
It was like a Timberwolves sale. It took them 3 years to get here, but man, it's across the border. They're everywhere.
It was always one of the weirdest things growing up in Canada and knowing that ketchup chips were not available in the States, even though ketchup to me was like.
It's like
America.
A basic flavor in America. Yeah.
Make a poutine, man. Just copy us.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Those two are weird that they didn't cross over here.
It's very strange that it wasn't a chip here for the longest time.
Especially in like Wisconsin, like the poutine thing. I mean, cheese curds, they must make them there, right?
Yeah. You make cheese.
Cheese, yeah. It's like the basic.
You love fries.
Yeah. Gravy.
Everybody's saying in the stream team, what is a ketchup chip? Literally what it sounds like. And then other people are replying, it's literally a ketchup flavored potato chip.
Yeah.
It's good.
It is good.
Good.
It's very good. And a little graham cracker and brie and you're laughing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm into it.
Okay.
Tassie.
Well, I'm starting to think about this Krispy Kreme donut. Just period. Because it's better than my answer. And I wonder what McDonald's is going to do with it.
Yeah.
It's going to come out hot? Is it going to come out hot?
This is the thing. I think this is why the rollout is taking so long.
Yes,
they need to equip them with the Krispy Kreme making donut machines.
Yes. Yes.
The treadmill. That's not what it's called. Conveyor belt.
The conveyor belt. Yeah.
Where it drops into the oil and then it's on the conveyor belt. Yeah.
But am I going to be able to buy a burger with Krispy Kreme?
Is it the bun you're saying?
The cronut, as they used to call it?
Yeah.
I would hope so.
How could they not?
Yeah, they got to.
Yeah, and that's why it makes sense.
You're just leaving money on the table if you don't do that, McDonald's.
Yeah, that's why they're waiting. That's why it feels like they're waiting 2.5 years here. That's a long time from now. Because if they were just bringing it over from the Krispy Kreme, if they was just getting in the car and just driving it over, here's your 25 billion dozens that you need for this year. That would be way easier. That'd be tomorrow. Okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a hot bun.
Fresh,
yeah.
A hot bun.
Yeah. I'm going with that. I mean, I've got a sweet, salty thing.
Mm-hmm.
You did the brie and the ketchup chips. The ketchup chips we've heard, you know, for a long time.
Yes.
I've always gone with like a nacho chip with Nutella. I've liked a French fry with Nutella.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They both work. They both work. But this Krispy Kreme bun thing, because that's what it's going to be.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. Because if you're going to go gross, you know, you're going to go junk food.
Holy
I mean, those are two good junk foods.
Go
that's
all
a
the way.
Sweet bun.
Totally. I think Beetle Cat had a sandwich like that was like buns that were donuts and then like a delicious breakfast sandwich inside.
See,
it was like
that's
8 inches tall, probably.
Yeah.
It was good.
I mean, McDonald's has already dabbled with this with the McGriddle, right?
Yeah. That's true. It's like, I was thinking the burger, but you're right. It's why not the other meat products and eggs? And so, that's a good point.
Sausage and on pancakes? Yeah. It's delicious. All right, Trey.
Also in the fast food world, I want to go to Taco Bell all the time, but the few times a year when I allow myself, I always got to get a Mountain Dew or whatever Mountain Dew new flavor they come out with. For whatever reason, Taco Bell gets like proprietary Mountain Dews. Like we're soft launching it at Taco Bell. Baja Blast, I don't even know what flavor it is. Blue. Just tastes blue, and it's good. But I think I only drink a Mountain Dew if it comes from a Taco Bell. And if I go to a Taco Bell, I will only order a Mountain Dew. They're made for each other.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting. I only ever have Mountain Dew at Costco when I get a hot dog.
Okay.
That's the only time.
Wow. I haven't had a Mountain Dew in so long.
That electric green color, man.
Oh, yeah.
You can't convince yourself in any way that it's good for you.
Yeah.
Antifreeze.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Totally. It looks like something you should put in your car.
Yep.
You probably could, and it would work. Do you have any answer for that, JD, the final one there?
Oh, you know, I'm very, very into the idea of a Krispy Kreme burger type thing.
You are.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, anything sweet and salty, like Tess said, I'm into it.
Okay.
So I'm going to try this, what, you said Dorito with the Nutella?
I do a very plain
nacho.
Just like straight nacho. Straight
up. Yeah, a tortilla chip. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You it like work, Nutella.
Man. Yes. Look at me, man. Fucking love it. Can't keep it in the house.
All right. Okay, look, we just gave you a lot of great food recommendations for this weekend. That's rapid fire. Not so rapid. Let's call it there for the Drop Podcast. Was it a classic? You tell us. Let us know by hitting the like button, subscribing, telling a show about the friend, leaving us a 5-star rating and review. Tessa, you're off. You're on a little trip.
Mm-hmm.
Going with the fam?
Gonna get on a boat. What the hell is gonna happen?
You're on a cruise?
I'm on a boat.
Yeah, that feels weird.
First cruise.
Cruising. Just being. I'm from Canada. We don't have boats.
Wow.
That's just. It's just weird. It's an. It's obviously Canadians have boats, but we just don't have ports. As many ports as the Americans do. Getting on a boat in Miami. That's what people do.
Hitting the islands.
Yes, yes, and just one. The thing about the cruise, I was definitely skeptical, definitely, and I still am. People ask, how long is it going to be? I tell them it's 4 days, and they go, oh, that's good, good, that is short. That's what people say. That's the best thing about a cruise is how long it is. Yeah, a week is too long, apparently.
Okay, well, have fun
with
you and the fam. We'll miss you next week, but lots of games on this weekend. Obviously, some March Madness still going on. TK and JD will be back here on Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern. So make sure you hit the little bell button, notification there on YouTube, so you know when we drop something, because we'll have some shorts coming today and throughout the weekend that Jerome's done a great job on. So yeah, help us out there. Until Monday, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, there are multiple sizes of Nutella jugs. What do you even call those things? Nutella containers.
Jars.
Yeah.
But it's like that big plastic thing. Anyway, is that what you, when you go to Costco and you get your Mountain Dew and you get your hot dog, do you get the Nutella there? Because it comes in that size. They're huge.
In a massive, massive thing in it. There's three of them, I think.
Oh, yeah. You buy three. That's the good life.
In bulk.
I've got an extra one.
It's great.
America's great.
America's great. Embrace the weekend, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.